Even if you don't have teenagers yet, right? One day you will if you have younger children, and you'd certainly be welcome to this event. Jennifer and I plan to be there. It's going to be a great, great weekend. And if you're a grandparent, certainly you could use that wisdom too. If you have students in your life in any way, this would be beneficial to you. So looking forward to this weekend. Hope you can make it. Well, I wonder, have you heard about the shortage that we're having here in the United States? I'm sure you have. I mean, it's all over the news. Every time you turn the television on, we see evidence of this. Now, it's not a vaccine shortage that we have. It's not a food shortage or a water shortage, anything like that, although, you know, that happens from time to time. And the truth is, it's not a shortage that we have just in the United States. The fact is, rarely a day goes by that we don't read about, that we don't hear about evidence of this shortage all over the world. Right now, for example, we're still watching the fallout from the college admissions scandal that threw some TV stars that we're very familiar with, especially if you grew up with me in the 80s and 90s, Felicity Huffman, Lori Loughlin, many others. It threw them into the limelight for the wrong reasons. We're still reeling from the Jeffrey Epstein scandal, this whole horrible situation that we'll probably never know everything about, but that we do know involved underage girls, sex trafficking, and Epstein's apparent suicide. Just this past Friday, there was a very famous Christian comedian who canceled his upcoming tour and Netflix series after multiple accusations of sexual misconduct. It's frustrating. It's heartbreaking. It's painful. Wouldn't you like to see the end of it? Wouldn't you like to be able to turn on the news around your kids and grandkids without having to explain what sexual misconduct is a whole lot earlier than you were planning? Sure, the media could, you know, just stop reporting scandals, but we know that that's not going to happen. And besides that, that's not really the problem. Again, these stories are symptomatic of something that's in desperately short supply in our world today. You know what it is? Integrity. It's integrity. It's the only thing that will stop scandal. The scandal that we see out there in the world, the scandal that makes the news, but also the scandal that we're very familiar with in our most intimate of circles. Even the scandal that we often find within ourselves, the only thing that will stop it is integrity. Just a massive outbreak of integrity. Integrity that starts with us. So this is our third week in this preaching series about King David. David is the only person in the Old Testament who is referred to as a man after God's heart. And as we look at David's life, we can see that David was not perfect. Okay, as we'll see in a couple of weeks, he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. David had messed up kids, right? One of whom even tried to kill him. David's life was far from perfect. But last time we looked at one characteristic of David that really set him apart. We talked about the fact that David had a perspective that was all his own. He was a warrior, not a worrier, because he saw things from a spiritual perspective. He saw things from God's point of view. Now, this week, we're going to look at another aspect of David's life that I believe made him a man after God's own heart, a characteristic that if we allow Christ to develop it in our own lives today, it will help us to be people after God's own heart. If you remember again from last time, David has fought the giant and won. Okay, the people love him. King Saul gives him a little regiment all his own. And these guys just start going crazy. They're winning, just battle after battle. Women are singing songs about David. David is humble, yet strong. He's loyal and he's good. The people love them some David, all right? And that drives King Saul crazy, literally. Saul overhears one of the songs that the women are singing, and it goes something like this. Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. As you can imagine, Saul didn't like that, right? David happened to be a pretty good harp player, and sometimes he would play for the king. We've talked about that before. But on two separate occasions, while David was playing for the king, Saul just up and threw a spear at him. And then from then on, Saul's jealousy just got worse. By the time we get to our passage today, Saul had lied to David. He had broken promises made to David. He had taken David's wife and given her to another man. He had actually tried to kill David 15 separate times. David is now running all over Israel. He's hiding in caves, trying to avoid this crazy king that just wants him to die. But in our passage today, David has an opportunity to get even, to end his trial, to kill the one torturing him. But as we read, he doesn't do it. Why not? Because again, David is a man after God's own heart. And because David has God's Holy Spirit leading him and guiding him. And the leadership that God gives him produces in David this thing that we so desperately need today. David was a man of integrity. Now let's face it, one reason there's so much scandal in the world, the reason integrity is so hard to find is because it's so hard to practice, right? I mean, it's easy to tell the truth when nothing's at stake, right? It's not hard to resist cheating when you already have an A, okay? It's easy to do the right thing when everybody wants you to do the right thing, but so often in life it's not that way, right? Very often, doing the right thing, representing God's will well, means doing the hardest thing. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is looking. Because there's more at stake than whether or not we'll get caught. What's at stake is our character. What's at stake is the glory of God in the lives of the people around us. What's at stake is the eternity of the people you love. Really. Did you know a few years ago, Barna did a study where they asked non-Christian people, okay, people that have rejected Christianity, they asked non-Christian people why they did that. Why did they reject Christianity? 85% of people who responded said hypocrisy. It's seen a lack of consistency between what we say and what we say we believe and what we do. In other words, they notice a lack of integrity. And so if we're going to influence people around us for the cause of Christ, if we're going to impact our community for the cause of Christ, we're going to have to stop playing games, church. We're going to have to fall in love with Jesus, committing to follow him, to obey him, no matter what it costs, no matter how hard it is. We must become people of integrity. That's what has to happen in the church in the United States if we're going to push back darkness. And so the question is, what does that look like? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning as we continue to look at the example of David. Again, David gives us a very good example here. He shows us that integrity is being faithful even when your enemy has given you every reason not to be. It's being faithful when your friends are encouraging you not to be. And it's being faithful when circumstances tell you that you shouldn't be. Now, again, I know we read this passage earlier, but let's just zoom in on it a little bit. 1 Samuel 26, look at the first couple of verses here. Again, the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding on the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon?" And so David arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having with him 3,000 chosen men of Israel to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. All right, so again, first, integrity is being faithful when your enemy has given you every reason not to be faithful. Saul had really given David every reason to kill him when he had the opportunity. Again, I mean, this guy was crazy. He was chasing David around with 3,000 of his best soldiers, men that should have been out fighting the Philistines. Keep in mind, Israel was in the middle of a war in this passage. They were in the middle of a war with a hostile nation. But Saul was distracted. And what did David to deserve this? Nothing. On the contrary, David had done incredible things for Saul. 1 Samuel 18, David volunteered for a suicide mission for Saul. He served faithfully in Saul's army. He proved over and over again to be a dependable servant of the king. But still, out of jealousy, Saul pursued David, chased David, literally sought to destroy David. Now again, as we read earlier, David's going to get this opportunity to kill Saul. I want you just to put yourself in David's shoes. Think about everything that would have solved. No more running, right? No more hiding. David could finally take the throne, enjoy the position that God had given him. But David did the right thing, even when he had been given every reason not to. Look, friend, there are going to be times when people let you down. There are going to be times when people fail you. That's the nature of people. There will be times when people undermine you, when they target you with their words, when they post just hateful things about you in public places, right? Like social media. When they target you with their actions, there are going to be times when people rise up against you. And when that happens, you will want to retaliate. You will want to return evil for evil. Maybe an ex-husband or an ex-wife badmouths you in front of the kids. An employer tries to short you on your paycheck. A friend at school starts a rumor about you. How are you going to respond when those things happen? You're going to want to fire back. But listen, Jesus Christ, if you walk with Jesus, if you know Jesus, He has called us to something else. He has called us to something higher, something that goes completely against our nature. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, you have heard it, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? In other words, what reward is there in loving those who love you? Everybody does that. What catches the attention of this divided world that we live in? What catches the attention of this broken world? It's when we love, when we intentionally love with our actions those who are dead set against us. Integrity is being faithful even when our enemy has given us every reason not to be. So again, David he's hiding out in the wilderness with a bunch of guys who have come to kill him in desperation. He's kind of like Robin Hood and his merry men, okay? He's hiding out in the woods, right? But he gets word that Saul and his army are coming after him. So he finds out where Saul and the army are encamped, and he makes his way there. Look at verse 5 again. David then arose and came to the place where Saul had camped. And David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army. And Saul was lying in the circle of the camp, and the people were camped around him. Then David said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "Well, I will go down with you." And so David and Abishai came to the place by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping inside the circle of the camp with his spear stuck in the ground at his head, and Abner and the people were lying around him. Then Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Now therefore, please let me strike him with the spear to the ground with one stroke, and I will not strike him the second time." Integrity is being faithful when your enemy is giving you every reason not to be. And it's also being faithful when your friends encourage you not to be. Abishai, again, he was a fighter. This is one of David's main guys. And he was an absolutely bloodthirsty man. More than once, he'd offered to kill someone for David. And here he even has a spiritual argument, right? He says, "Look, God has delivered your enemy into your hands. You won't be guilty at all. Just let the responsibility rest on me. I'll do it." But look at David's response in verse 9. He says, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be without guilt?" I want you to notice that David wasn't just concerned about his own sin. He wasn't just concerned about his own guilt before God. Because he was a man of integrity under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, David was also concerned about the guilt of his friend. You know, sometimes it's easy to let other people talk us into things that we know are wrong. That's what peer pressure does, right? That's an age-old struggle that we've had. We think, well, you know, if I just get caught and this other person's the one that kind of drug me into it, I'll just let them take the fall for it, right? After all, it's their idea. But that's not integrity. Real integrity recognizes that God is, he's not just our God. Okay, it's not okay to let other people take the call for you, because the truth is, God is their God too, whether they recognize it or not. God is the God of everything and everyone. Jesus said right before he ascended into heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And so our outlook as we go through life is not to be that which we can get away with at the expense of other people's guilt. Our outlook as we go through life is, how can we live? What can we do to bring other people into relationship with us? When you try to protect your reputation by letting other people take the fall for you, then you're just undermining the purpose and the will of God in your life. Integrity is being faithful even when others encourage you not to be. Let me ask you, how is your integrity? How is your faithfulness? How is your relationship with the Lord? Again, if you don't take your relationship with God seriously, those around you won't do it as well. All right, so integrity is being faithful even when your friends encourage you not to be. It's also being faithful when circumstances tell you that you shouldn't be. Look, this was the second time that this kind of thing had happened to David. Just a few chapters earlier, in chapter 24, David had had another opportunity to kill Saul. It would have been easy for David to justify it this time, right? "All right, Lord, I did what was right last time." You know, but God, this is just too easy, right? This is two times in a row. "Surely, Lord, you want me to take care of this guy." Verse 12 tells us that it was actually the Lord, it was God, who caused a deep sleep to come over everybody in Saul's camp. But David doesn't do it. David remains faithful even when the circumstances give him every opportunity not to be faithful. And so often our faith is circumstantial, isn't it? So often our consistency is circumstantial. You know, like, I do the right thing, except when I don't. I live the right way, you know, except when I can't. I'm kind to everyone. I'm unselfish. I'm patient. I'm humble, except when I'm not. Listen, friend, the circumstances will lie to you. It takes great, great discipline and wisdom to see through the lie. Think about what would have happened to David had he made this decision to kill Saul. I'll tell you what would have happened. He would never have been king over all of Israel. You see, David was from the tribe of Judah. And even after Saul died in war, as David anticipates here, and after David was inaugurated as king of Judah, it would be a while before the rest of Israel followed his leadership. In fact, it took a civil war for that to happen. If David had been guilty of killing Saul, he would have never recruited the support of the rest of the nation. He would never have become the great king that he was. But David was faithful, even when the circumstances justified his unfaithfulness. Friend, that's what this world needs. That's what our culture is starving for. They want to see consistency. Many want to believe in a God that changes people. Many people want to believe in a God that can change them. But when they see a bunch of people whose belief, whose actions reflect a belief that is circumstantial and only circumstantial, they assume that no such God exists. Integrity is so important. But that's integrity, is being faithful in all these situations. But again, the question is, how do I get there? How can I position myself where I'm faithful in every situation? How can I position myself to be a person after God's heart, a person with integrity? Because here's the thing, you can't work your way to this. All right, after messages like this, we're always tempted, we're always, you know, motivated to sort of just try harder. You know, I'm just going to buckle up. I'm going to be more disciplined. I'm just going to try to be more faithful, more consistent, no matter what. But unfortunately, it doesn't work. Because you see, no matter how many Bible verses we put on Instagram, no matter how good we are, no matter how righteous we are compared to other people, none of us makes the right choice without exception. None of us will ever be perfectly faithful. David was not perfectly faithful. I'm not perfectly faithful. You're not. Nobody is. No matter how hard we try, we don't have the strength within ourselves to be faithful. So what do? We put our trust in someone who was faithful. Why was David able to show such integrity in this impossibly tempting situation? It's the same way he was able to have such courage to defeat the giant in the story that we looked at last time. It's the same way he was able to resist all kinds of temptations that he faced in life. Not perfectly, but mostly. You see, there was something inside of David that made David different. There was something about him that set him apart, that motivated him to be a man of integrity, even when the odds were against him. 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. But notice this part. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. You see, David was empowered by the Spirit of the living God. And again, as I told you last time, the thing that so many Christians miss today is that you are empowered by that same Spirit. If you know Jesus Christ, you have the same spirit working in you that David had working in him, the same spirit that enabled him to be faithful even when he had every reason not to be. But too often we grieve the spirit. In our circumstantial obedience, we push the spirit away. And we allow our flesh, our selfish desires, our sin, we give that stuff priority in our lives. And so if you're a Christian, here's what we have to do. First, stop trying to do it yourself. It doesn't matter how hard you try. If you're doing this in your own strength, you will fail. You do not have the ability to be faithful all the time. You just don't. That's why you need God in your life. And the only way to have God in your life is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Stop trying to do it yourself. Enter into a relationship with Him. Ask Him to save you. Ask Him to rescue you. Second, increase your intimacy with God. Dig into God's Word. Make it a priority in your life. Study it. Work to understand it. Do it with a group of people who will hold you accountable. But don't just read the Word. Don't just try to get it up here. Get the Word in your heart. Allow the Word of God to change you. When you read the Word of God, highlight what the Holy Spirit directs you to. And then ask God to show you blind spots in your life that you need to change. And then when those are highlighted in your life, you highlight them to others. Confess your sin and ask a community of believers to help you change. That's allowing the Word of God to change you. And that's increasing your intimacy with God. And then third, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Again, just by asking the Holy Spirit to help you, you'll be reminded that the Holy Spirit is there. You'll be reminded of just this incredible, eternal power that you have in your life. Again, power that comes not from you, but from the God who created you, the God who knows you, the God who loves you, the God who is cheering for you to be faithful. Maybe you're here today and you know you've blown it. Feels like doesn't matter how consistent you are from now on, because you've already proven your inconsistency, it's irrelevant. You've been a fraud. You've been a failure. You've shown anything but integrity. And maybe now you're thinking, man, I'd love to know God, but could God ever really love me? I've done too much. Dear friend, if that's you, you've got it all wrong. You've misunderstood what this is all about. Listen, we're not here today because we've performed well, okay? We're not here today because we're any better than anyone else. We're here today. We're here to worship today because we know that even though we were failures, God provided a way for us to know Him. His name is Jesus. He was called the Son of David, and He was a descendant of David, but He was infinitely better than David. Where David was good, Jesus was perfect. Where David was a man after God's own heart, Jesus was God in the flesh. And Jesus lived with perfect integrity, perfect honesty, perfect consistency. And the Bible tells us that when He died, get this, He made all of that goodness available to us. See, you don't have to be good enough for God to love you. That's not how it works. Jesus was good enough for you. All you have to do is invite Jesus in. Make Jesus the center of your life and watch as He changes you from the inside out. Friend, that's the gospel. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate. Jesus was faithful so you can be faithful. Jesus was faithful so you can have integrity. Let me invite you, if you will, just to bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment as you reflect on the Word of God. Again, the problems that we see in this world are symptomatic. They're symptomatic of a problem that humanity has in our hearts. Jesus tells us that all the things that we do come from sinful desires that are within us. All the things that drive us to rebellion and chaos and dishonesty, all that comes because there's something wrong in us. But again, Jesus Christ has provided the cure. He wants to get inside of you and change you. And when you surrender your life to Him, the Word of God says that He gives you the power of His Holy Spirit to change you, to transform you from the inside out. Again, this is a spiritual thing that has to happen. It doesn't happen just by showing up in church. It doesn't happen just by reading the Bible and praying or going through some religious procedure, some motion. That's not it. This is something that you have to invite God to do in your life. But make no mistake, if you invite Him to change you, He will change you. He will forgive you, and He will transform your life. Would you like to do that this morning? Look, if you're here and you don't know God, the beauty of the gospel is it's not hard, it's not complicated. You can simply, you could even do it right now. You could just invite God to be your Lord and Savior. Invite Jesus to be the authority of your life. Again, He already has that authority. He has authority over everything, but now you're acknowledging that He has authority over you. Look, if you've never done that, you can just simply pray a prayer, inviting Jesus to be the Lord of your life, committing your life to Him, telling Him, Lord, I know I'm not perfect. I know I'm not good. I'm broken. And I know I can't be good without Your grace in my life. Accept His grace. Let Him change you. If you want to talk to somebody about that, as soon as Brother John steps up here to sing here in a minute, we're going to make our next steps area available. We have a room right behind the sanctuary where it's set aside just to talk about things like this. If you need to make a decision for Christ, if you want to take a step toward faith in Jesus, we have folks back there who are trained to help you through that, to show you in the Word of God what it means to follow Jesus and to know Him. And I'd invite you, as soon as we start singing, just make your way out any one of these doors. If you're not sure where to go, you can come just talk to me. I'll get you there. I'll be standing right here. But we have volunteers all out in the hall that'll help you get to that next steps area. That'll stay open until after church is finished. Same thing, if you want to join our church, if you want to join here officially, that's where that conversation happens. Bottom line, don't leave here without getting things right. So often we're tempted just to let things hide. And we think I can handle it on my own, but that's not the gospel. Jesus calls us to confess our sins. And when we do that, He promises that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's live for Him, church. Let's be people who have the power of the Spirit working in us. Let's show this world what integrity looks like. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your love and Your grace. Thank You, Lord, for Jesus and His goodness and the forgiveness that He offers. Thank You, Lord, that the church isn't for perfect people. Lord, thank You that You came and rescued me in spite of the fact that You knew that my heart was broken, that I was a sinner, that I was selfish, and that I would continue to demonstrate those characteristics throughout my life. But Lord, you chose to start a work in me at just 8 years old, and you're still working in me. And for that, Lord, I don't deserve that. For that, I'm grateful. Lord, I know you desire to do a work in the lives of many people that are here today. Lord, give them the courage to open that door to their life, allow you in. That courage to be changed. We love you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing as we sing.